going to call the meeting to order. Sharon?
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman.
Here.
Trustee Anthony Iosco.
No, cannot hear you.
Trustee Anthony Iosco.
He's here.
Okay. Trustee Robert Marshall.
Present.
Trustee Mark Strauss.
Here.
BOT Chair Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Chair Robert Boy.
Here. Thank you. Well, welcome to the First Finance Facilities and Operations Committee meeting of the new 2012-2013 academic year. This is a special exciting time of the year as students and faculty return to campus with renewed enthusiasm and expectations for the years ahead. Mr. Blakemore, verification?
Verification of appropriate notice is confirmed.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of April 19, 2012?
So moved.
Second? Don't everybody rush? Is there a second? Thank you. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Chair's comments. Today's agenda includes a number of items that require committee approval. Among them, fiscal year 2013 internal budget. I always ask Eddie, what's the difference between internal and external budget? And the answer is the same, I think.
Yes.
Fiscal year 2014 budget guidelines. Fiscal year 2014 appropriated and non-appropriated capital budgets. Intercollegiate athletics, athletic apparel sponsorship package. College of Engineering and Engineering Technology, the grant subcontract. Oracle PeopleSoft applications, annual maintenance renewals, temporary construction easement, treasury operations, signatory authorization. We will also receive a number of reports, including fiscal year 2013 reports on tuition and fee waivers, capital activities, transactions involving real property, cash and investments, and the obligation of financial resources. Quarterly summary report of transactions in excess of $100,000, professional excellence awards for faculty and staff. At this time, I'd like to recognize the representatives to this subcommittee from the University Advisory Committee, Dr. Alan Rosenbaum and Dr. Greg Wass. Are you both here today?
Yes.
Thank you. Would you like to say something at this time?
I would just like to say welcome back, and we're looking forward to a fiscally exciting year.
Great.
Thank you.
Well put. Mr. Blakemore, public comments, if any?
We have had no requests, written or otherwise, for public comments.
Thank you. At this point, I would like to ask Dr. Williams to present the university report.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank Dr. Rosenbaum for setting the stage for this exciting financial year. We will have our challenges, but again, we're very pleased to present to the board as our first item, our fiscal year 2013 internal budget approval. Each year, the university is required to obtain board approval for our internal budget. We did a preliminary budget approval in June, and at this meeting, we are coming to you with the final budget. As you can see on page 5 of your materials or on your iPads, that the materials themselves indicate that the internal budget had and reflected a 6.13% reduction in general revenue support. This was a statewide reduction in higher education through the governor's office. It went through the General Assembly. It's in our final appropriation bill. The university was able to address this reduction through internal reallocations, and we certainly appreciate the support of each of our divisions, the provost and all of the other vice presidents, in trying to find ways in which we may address the reduction without a serious impact upon our students, our operations, or our services. And we were able to accomplish that per the president's guidelines and directives. The budget overall shows that our internal budget is approximately $453 million, and we asked your approval of the internal budget.
Trustees, motion please.
So moved.
Discussion. Any discussion? If not, I'll call the motion. May I have the motion, please? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item, 7B, is a exercise that we are bound to do relative to our requirements as a university, and then to the board as your requirements to provide for the institution in terms of its needs. We develop a budget that will be presented to the Board of Higher Education, eventually to the governor and to the General Assembly, and this would be for fiscal 14 operations. The budget guidelines have not changed. Those of you who have been with us for several years know these are exactly the same guidelines we've been using for about the last 5 or 6 years. And in all of the previous years, you'll know also that every one of our requests has ended up with a denial or a zero based upon the status of the state budget. But at any rate, it's our requirement, it's our duty to put forth what the university needs. These guidelines will be used, as I said, to establish the fiscal 14 requests. They include a 3% faculty and salary increase, 3% utilities, 3% library technology, and 1.6 million in program priorities. Those requests have not changed over the last 5 years, so they're the very same things that we have been systematically requesting approval for. So we asked your approval of the fiscal 2014 budget guidelines.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Trustee Strauss?
In taking a look at this, my view is that essentially what we're committing to here is our presentation to the Board of Higher Education, but what we're leaving open would be the internal determination as to what to happen in light of resources that are actually available, that we're not committing ourselves to tuition increases that would fund this amount of overall expenditures for next year, or raises if there are insufficient resources. Is that correct?
That is correct. As we have planned,
as we have proceeded each year, the president and through his cabinet develop priorities for the institution. These recommendations do not in any way obligate the university nor the board to any tuition increase or any other kind of revenue generating effort, but it does put forth what we feel are the needs of the institution. At some point, there will have to be evaluation as to what we will go forward with and how we will do that, but at this point in time, there's no obligation at all.
So the only other thing that I would add is that at the appropriate time, obviously not this morning, I would like to discuss again deferred maintenance, which is not scheduled for any increase in the presentation and the motion before us today.
Thank you. So noted. By the way, Trustee Strauss, deferred maintenance heading. I remember that when I first joined the Board of Trustees a zillion years ago, and the emphasis on deferred maintenance has not changed one bit. Zero. Anyway.
Mayor?
Yes, please.
Yeah, let me. For the those new in the audience and some new board members, let's decouple this requirement that we have in internal budget priorities that we present to the IBHE from budgeting reality, which means things like deferred maintenance and how we spend whatever money we have. This is an exercise that we go through in building a budget for the state. And we've stuck to these priorities because we know that consistency is very important in the public sector, even though these things haven't been funded for years. So we stick to our knitting. Faculty salaries first, utilities, programmatic areas that we know are important. And there's reasonable campus consensus on this. And I'm not saying that there's much, I am cynical about this, but there is a degree of that creeps into this. We will present these guidelines to IBHE, I believe on November 1st, down in Springfield. It's called the Big Picture Meeting. Well, we'll meet with the IBHE folks. Then historically, what they do is they gather information from all the universities. They have discussions, and then the IBHE prepares and passes a request budget that goes to the governor. then the governor takes it and does whatever the governor does and presents his budget to the legislature in February, whenever that date is. Complicating this is that the past few years, the IBHE will probably this year come up with what they call a stepped budget. They may have start either at whatever the base was this year, maybe reductions. Then they have to add in this year performance funding, and then they usually stick to these kinds of guidelines for all universities. And then the governor takes it and does something else. So that's pretty much, I want everybody to know that that's what happens. So this is the piece of paper that we passed is the input that we will use in this process. But Mark is absolutely right. How we actually spend our money that we do have is a bit different from this because, I mean, this is aspirational.
Sure. But we do defer maintenance. I mean, our elevators are still working.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So, any other discussion? I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7C is our fiscal 14 appropriated capital budget request. This is a request that you have seen for the last 10 years, I believe. We do have some good news, and that has been reported to the board, that one project that traditionally was our number one project on this list, which was the Stevens Building project, has been fully funded and funds released, and we are in the process of moving the project forward for construction. We're very pleased that an approximate budget of $22 to $23 million has been released, and we thank the efforts of our legislative support team for helping us to convince the CDB and others to allow us to modify the scope of the project so that we could get a better project and modify the budget for the project. And I do want to thank Jeff Dower and his staff for their work in providing what was necessary to get that approval. At any rate, again, we're looking at projects we have discussed over the years. We're putting these forward to the state and with the hope that we can get some relief, both in terms of major capital and also into our minor capital projects, which we call our renewal projects, which includes a lot of the deferred maintenance that our chair has just indicated, Chair Boy has indicated, as being projects that we need to get undertaken. So we asked your approval. Again, this is part of the process that the president just described to you. It does not mean in any way that the state will just take these and approve them, but it is our responsibility to put forth the needs of the institution. We asked your approval.
Hey, the Stevens funding was approved this year, right?
Yes,
for $22 million. I don't want to exaggerate, but my memory seems to recall that it first showed up on our request around 2000.
That's about correct. Yes.
So it's been
12 years
before it gets. So, Dr. Peters, anything you'd like to request for? Now's the time to do it.
If we get the money, we're going to spend it.
Okay. May I have a motion, please, trustees?
Second?
Discussion? I call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7D is our non-appropriated capital budget. The distinction here is the appropriated budget is funded through the state of Illinois. The non-appropriated budget is a local funding. Normally and almost totally comes through our bond revenue system, by which, by statute, the Board of Trustees has the authorization to build facilities and improvements with revenue bonds that are non-academic in nature. We have developed a list of needs. Those needs have come through the various users, especially in terms of our student affairs area, because most of the non-appropriated facilities are in our housing area, recreation areas, and the like. We asked your approval of this request. I will point out that one of the projects that's slated on this list is Neptune Hall improvements. This is part of our overall strategy, improving our housing stock for our campus. Our student affairs area has identified this as a priority. We hope to work on this project, refine it, and it will be a project that we hope to schedule in 2014. But we ask your approval of the non-appropriated budget.
Motion, please. Trustees? Second?
Second.
It wasn't that hot, guys. No. Thank you. Discussion?
I just wanted to make note on this capital improvement budget, we do have deferred maintenance specified.
Yes.
So, and this would come out of the bond funding?
Yes, yes. That's a very important point. These funds are part of our bond revenue system. We have bond revenue reserves that are set aside to support these improvements. In fact, that reserve right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of $26 million, and that's not including this year's contributions to the reserves, so that we readily know and can plan financially when and how we do these projects, but the money is under our control.
So there's a new sound on this, is that not correct? That in the past we would build buildings funded by the state and then have an issue with deferred maintenance. As you're moving into bond issues or in any partnership that we've established, then deferred maintenance becomes an element of the construction and moving forward
that's
in the
correct.
Funding.
That's
so actually, we really are doing something different now today in the last, a couple of years.
We're trying to, in any and every case that we can, to shift over. But the bottom line still remains that the state is obligated for state facilities.
Right.
And there is no way that we can remove that responsibility, and I don't know if we want to remove that responsibility, but in as we can, any time and any opportunity we have, you're exactly right. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the distinction that where we have control, we have been preemptive in terms of deferred maintenance, mm-hmm. and where we don't have control, then we are dependent on others.
The reality is that where we have control is when we're faced with something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
And we have to fix it.
Yeah.
The trouble is we don't get back the money that we have spent once we did that.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to call a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7E is approval of our intercollegiate athletics apparel sponsorship package. At this point in time, we have issued an RFP for this service. It's an interesting concept, but the idea is that we check with vendors and we identify a vendor that will provide us with the type of apparel we need. That's jerseys, socks, that's helmets and other equipment for not only football but all of our sports. And also we negotiate price caps so that if some of our other activities, such as our sports camps, would like to purchase equipment or whatever, they can purchase it under this contract and take advantage of discounted rates. The RFP process will proceed over the next couple of months, and with this approval, we'll be able to move forward. We have asked for approval from the board to enter into an apparel agreement up to an amount of $2 million, and that will cover a period of 5 years. So it's a five-year agreement for that approximate amount of money for the total term of 5 years. So we ask your approval.
Motion. Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, discussion.
There's a specific word here that I'm not familiar with. It says NIU Athletics is seeking NIU Board of Trustees project approval. What's that distinction? What's the meaning of that distinction?
I'm sure I don't understand your question.
In the actual written document, it has that the athletics is seeking Board of Trustees project approval. now. What does that mean?
That's just a nomenclature. There is no difference there. What is meant is in the action item, and what is in the action item is the request from the on the part of the university.
Okay.
And that is the action that you're taking, what is stated in that action.
Okay.
I want to comment that our athletic director is here, and certainly I'm sure if there are any questions that you'd like to direct to him, he's available. But I think the item itself is clear in terms of what we're asking for approval of.
I would like some clarification, if you would give it to us. 5 years, $2 million, that's not, if you divide that, it's $400,000, which isn't a real large amount of money. Could you just explain to us exactly what's included in this package, and how does that also relate to all of the apparel that is sold or given away through the Alumni Association to non-students, to non-athletes? Is this only for the athletes, or does that also include all of the apparel that is either given or sold by the university?
Yeah. Happy to answer that, Sherilyn. Thank you. We basically now spend about $350,000. By the way, this is Deborah Boughton. She works with all of our business operations and associate AD with me, and has really worked closely with the university in putting this together, and we appreciate everybody's cooperation. This is, right now we're paying about $350,000 a year in actual expenses. What this type of agreement will actually allow for us is that we will actually receive some free, we call it free material and apparel from these companies that we use for our teams, and we divide those up for each team, as we do now. And anybody who's purchasing under the university auspices has an opportunity to use our pricing structure, as Dr. Williams indicated earlier, in order to buy. If it continues with Adidas, if there's another company that comes in, they would all have that same pricing structure that they could purchase under.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions?
This is pretty standard bidding for apparel contracts that happen in Division I college athletics. And it's competitive, and I expect we're going to get a good deal.
Okay, let's see. We have a discussion. Any other discussions? If not, I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7F is approval from a College of Engineering for a grant subcontract amendment. This program, and I earlier saw the dean of the college, but I don't see him right now. But to my understanding of this, we have worked out with Rock Valley Community College a 2+2 program by which students can commence an engineering program at the community college. After 2 years and completion there, they can come right into NIU for two more years and have an engineering degree. The program was originally funded through a grant. That grant was primarily for maybe for 1 year, or at least for the preliminaries of this. The granting agency was impressed with the program, and so because of that, they provided three more years of funding, and that's the amendment that is before you. So we ask your approval of the amended budget for this grant program.
Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Strauss. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7G is approval of maintenance renewal contracts. Many of them are multi-year contracts that we have set up with PeopleSoft. The university, in terms of controlling future costs with these various software packages, entered into agreements that would place a maximum on any additional charges on an annual basis that the vendor might want to add to a specific contract. This is one way that we control the prices and make sure that we don't get in a situation where we're just subject to any type of price increase. We do have limits, and that's what was generally negotiated. So for each one of these agreements, they're subject to these maximums. We asked your approval of the total item. It's $791,000, and these are our fundamental administrative unit software packages, and I'm about ready to exceed my knowledge of this, but Steve Pace is here, and I don't know if Wally's here, but Wally's here, so the real experts are in the room, but we asked your approval of these renewals, and they are within the maximums that we have negotiated.
Motion, Trustee Strauss. May I have a motion?
Not on this one, Chair.
May I have a motion, please? The rest of the trustees.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All right, discussion.
I've got a question for the
good doctor here, and maybe your experts as well. As it relates to the expansion of licenses, I'm assuming that's due to the growth that we have in the university. Is that based on, what is that based on?
These particular ones, we have the maximum head count, or budget count, budget dollar amount.
I think it should go through, yeah.
Yes, those two expansion items are for those particular products. We had either a head count, an FTE count, or budget or something like that. That was software was pegged at that particular limit, and the university, we basically have an annual license review for those matrix, and those at that time exceeded that, and so they upped the limit, and then we're paying an additional charge for because of that matrix change. And so most of these, the matrix is like half again as much or double or something like that, so we won't see these for quite a while.
Okay, so this is something, this is the price of growing as an institution, you know, when we're
I'm probably the only person on this campus that looks and says, no, I don't think we want to grow.
All right. Okay, good, good. That's good insight. And so you're saying that we have room to grow with this additional fees. All right.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Trustee Pollack, were you the one who wanted to have a discussion?
I don't need to speak.
I'm sorry, Trustee.
I simply wanted to make sure that we had a roll call vote on this item, please.
Okay, sure. Roll call, Ms. Sharon. Well, I'm going to call the motion now. If there are no further discussions. All right. Roll call, please, Sharon.
Trustee Boyd.
Yes.
Excuse me. Trustee Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Coleman.
Yes.
Trustee Iosco.
Yes.
Trustee Marshall.
Yes.
Trustee Strauss.
Abstain.
Trustee Muir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Motion carried.
Item 7H is a temporary construction easement that we are requesting that the board approve that we might grant to the city of DeKalb. They're in the process of building their new police station on Lincoln Highway, and to do that, they need to change some pedestrian lighting across the stoplights across Lincoln Highway, and those infringe on our property. This is a temporary construction easement. We ask your approval of this request.
Thank you, Trustee Strauss. Anybody would like to second him?
Second.
Thank you. Trustee Butler, second. Discussion? I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7I is our final action item. It's for approval by the board of the authorized signatures for our treasury operations. We do this from time to time. We have three signatories who are responsible for the operation of our treasury operations. Some have asked what are our requirements and how many signatures and so forth. I would like to take just 1 minute to give you some idea of what is involved. For our checks and general accounts payable, there's just a single signature, but that comes after we have generated the appropriate payable instruments and vouchers, and they're all subject to our internal controls as to the development of those. And then once a check is issued, there is a bank reconciliation independently done, and we also make sure that there is full approval of the receipt of the item and that it is put into our accounting system properly. For our investment, buy and sale transactions, they really require two signatures. Usually it's the Director of Treasury who is involved in that, and one of the other two people that are listed, which includes the Vice President of Administration or the Executive Vice President of Finance. And those items, all of those require two signatures. They are further provided through audit, through the Controller's Office, and all of the settlements are therefore taken in safe custody for our Treasury Office and then entered into the PeopleSoft system and then are further reviewed and reflected in our financial statements. For electronic fund transfers, again, they require two signatures. Usually the Director of Treasury is the person that's involved, but there is a second signatory that is required on any of those kinds of transactions. Our system has been reviewed and audited, and we feel very comfortable with the integrity of the system and the identification of those who are being entrusted this responsibility. We ask your approval of them at this time.
Motion, please.
I'll move to approve the recommendation.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion.
A quick discussion, Dr. Williams. When you said our processes have been reviewed, can you give us some insight on reviewed by what body or what group?
My understanding is she's smiling already, but our internal auditor has taken the time to review our system, to review the integrity of our system, and my read of her opinion of that has been that our system is very sound. It has the necessary backup systems, and that it seems to be working very effectively.
And that was done recently, is that correct?
Yes, that was but the year and a half ago.
Yeah. Last 2 years. And how often do you perform a review?
It depends on the risk and...
Why don't you use the microphone so that we can all hear it?
I should say this is Danielle Schultz, who is our internal auditor.
It depends on the annual risk analysis that we do and results of past reviews, but we also look at how long it's been since we last reviewed it. So it's something that it's a little more complicated than just saying every 3 years, but and it's also something that every year I work with the executive cabinet to discuss what their concerns are as well, in addition to what I feel is current risk. So,
And so if there's any findings, is that made available to the board, or is that just made available to the administration?
Yeah, it's made available. It's directed directly to President Peters, and then it's available.
Yeah, the internal auditor reports directly to me, and those reports are work through the Legislative Audit Committee.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
The last of our report, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen, refers to information items. I'll mention them at right now. If there's some questions, certainly we will be happy to respond. These are routine reports, and what we're required to present to the board, to this committee on an annual basis. So I'll just go through them, and if you have a question, please interrupt me. The first being our report on tuition and fee waivers. We have our regular report on capital activities, all of our different capital projects. We have a report on our annual transactions involving real property. We have a report on our cash investments. Trustee Boy always comments that one-tenth of 1% or 1% interest rate is not very much in terms of investments, but then again, given the constraints we have in terms of investments, that actually is a pretty good number. Our quarterly summary report on transactions in excess of $100,000, our annual summary of report, annual summary report obligations of financial resources, and our we did in the academic project, I'm understanding, identify and recognize those staff that receive professional excellence awards from our faculty and our staff, and I understand those individuals were introduced and recognized. So we do, again, recognize them here in the Finance Committee setting. And Mr. Chairman, that ends my report.
Thank you. Dr. Williams, and our next meeting is, I've lost track of it. November 8th? Okay, see you all on November 8th. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.